Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. Pardon me, 55. Isaiah 55. And we'll be talking today about God's unchanging word. And I'm glad that God doesn't change, and God doesn't need to change because God's right. He's the Lord. He's always right. What he said he will do, and he remains faithful to his word forever. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Let's notice the word of God together. Verse 6, let's start at verse 6. That is Isaiah 55 and 6. Okay, you're there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, that shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray, God, you'd help us to gain understanding, Lord. Speak to the heart and the life of every person, God. You know every need that's here. And Father, you know the inner workings of our heart and our innermost being. And I pray, God, you'd speak to our spirit man, God, today. Your Holy Spirit, God, would operate in this place in a powerful way. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As in all ages, people are looking for something they can believe in. Amen. And something besides change that politicians promise but rarely do. And so the people build whatever they want to do on things and on promises that many times fall short of what they promised. People write books supposedly based upon something that actually happened. And sometimes by the end of that book, you realize it may have began with truth, but it ends up being fiction. I'm interested, you know, in this. I went to a Christian bookstore, and you can go in any Christian bookstore and find this. And you can find an area where it's called Christian fiction. I'm not sure that those two words fit together. Because, anyway, I understand, but we are people of the truth. But what God says, we can know that he means it. Praise the Lord. I talked to a young man one time. He said, I'm getting interested in the Bible. I said, that's good. He'd just been coming to church for a short time. He said, it was a long time ago. Wasn't here. So that shouldn't make you nervous. But he said, I've read the Bible. And he said, I'm interested in that book. He said, it's a lot of good in it. He said, they even got science fiction in there. Said, really? Where? I knew. The book of Revelation. Well, Revelation is not science fiction, it's truth. It talks about the church, and it talks about what will happen during the tribulation period. And so it is the truth, and God speaks the truth to his people. But God's word does not change. It doesn't need to change. In the book of Malachi, it says, I am the Lord, I do not change. And so I'm glad that God doesn't. He doesn't need to. We don't. He's right. Praise God. But let's just notice, first of all, that God, by his powerful word, created everything in heaven and in earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so we can go through all that if we want to, but you can read it in the first couple of chapters there of Genesis. But we know that God created all things because his word is powerful in what he speaks. You say, well, God wasn't thinking when he created this. Yes, he was. God knows what he's doing. God, what would the world be like if there was no word of God, period? It'd be total chaos if it existed to start with. But we know that God created all things with the word of his power, so his word is powerful. It would do us well to look into his word. You know, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things, he was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him, and without him was not anything created that was created, made. So we know that God created all things. And we know that all idols and false gods are a challenge to our Creator. Is there modern day idolatry? Absolutely. There's people that look to other things other than God for an answer. And God has all of his answers for humanity and all that you need right here in his book. Praise the Lord. It's never outdated. The Bible always addresses human need wherever it's at. Because human need is the same. Human need is God. And God gives us his word on what he thinks about every subject and everything there is common to humanity. But all idols and false gods challenge the Creator. In modern day, evolutionists explain their theory of creation, the origins of humanity, seasons, animals, orbits of the planets, and everything else they can imagine. Isn't it just easier to say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth? Amen. It takes more faith to believe in man's foolish arguments of creation than to simply believe that God created it all. For by him, all things are created, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things are created by him and for him, and in him all things consist or hold together. Colossians 1:16. So God tells us that. So people get caught up in their own way. You know, years ago I was working on a job with a man. He was an electrician. I was one of his helpers, and we got to talking about the creation of man and that kind of thing, and over lunch, and it was so deep intellectually you could hardly stay. You know that if you've ever worked a secular job, especially construction. And he told me, he said, I believe mankind, all mankind is just a smart monkey. That was his idea of God's creation. And I started telling him that, you know, there's some monkeys that are not as smart as others. I didn't. Told him I had a banana in my lunchbox if he was hungry. But it takes more faith to believe in man's foolish arguments about creation than to simply believe that God created it all. When God speaks, his word is certain. It will accomplish his purposes. It cannot be controlled by any person or any created thing. God speaks, does what he wants to do. He doesn't need my permission or yours. Amen. He never asks us what we think about it. God speaks and it happens. Hallelujah. And his word is powerful. And it's good to know that God has our best interest in mind. And God cares for us. He doesn't have to, but he does. He loves us. When God speaks, his word is certain. It will accomplish his purposes. It cannot be controlled by humanity. The Bible points out the power of God's word in several ways. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9, the Bible says, then I said, I will make no mention of him anymore. Jeremiah was discouraged because he was preaching to a people that wouldn't hear. He was preaching to a people that would not repent. He was preaching to a people that had gone the length. They had offended God to the point that God would bring judgment, bringing them into Babylonian captivity eventually. And so Jeremiah got discouraged in his preaching. But he preached anyway. He said, I'm not going to speak his name anymore. But he said, but his word was in my heart like burning fire shut up in my bones. And I could not restrain from speaking his word. That's the power of God's word. He can take a discouraged person. He can put his word in you and get you encouraged. Praise the Lord. Because God's word is that powerful. Amen. And another thing that God's word is related to in the book of Jeremiah said, is not my word like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Praise God. And so we know that God's word is so powerful. And he keeps pounding in our heart at times when we're getting, when we're hard-headed and hard of hearing, whatever we want to call it, and God's trying to speak something to our inner man. He keeps speaking it until you know that it's him talking to you. My friend, many times it's been my experience, maybe I'm not as sharp as you are, but let's just look at it this way. When God's trying to speak to me, there's just something that just will not, I just can't get it out of my mind. And I'm not talking about an argument with some human being or somebody else, but there's something that God is putting into my spirit telling me that you, this is what's going to happen here. It doesn't happen all the time, but God knows how to talk to our heart. Praise the Lord. I believe God spoke, this may be for you right now, God spoke to my heart this week. He keeps putting it in my mind, but he said there's somebody here that's dealing with extreme loneliness. And I know that everybody deals with that at one time or another, so that may not, you say, well, that's not a word from God. But if God keeps putting that in my heart, I'm going to tell you that God's speaking to you. You don't have to be lonely because God is with you always. He didn't quit. He didn't depart wherever you're at. He's not subject to things that would block you out of things. God can be there. He was with three Hebrew children in the lion's den, or the fire furnace, and he was Daniel in the lion's den. He's ever present. Praise God. And so God's word is living in his power like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. And then God's word is compared to a sharp sword. And that's told in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living, alive, living and powerful, and sharper than a double-edged sword. How many times have people's hearts been dull and they were looking for an answer, but the word of God was spoken? Not necessarily by a preacher, but many times by a preacher. And God has to have somebody he can speak through. And he does. But it softened the heart of people and made them know their real need is God. Not some worldly solution, but God. Is not my word. Like a sharp double-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow, and discerns, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. I want to tell you, God gets to the very core of where you are. God created this human body, body, soul, and spirit. God knows how to get to you. God knows how to talk to you deeply and get to the place where nobody else can get. Amen. You can hire people to talk to you, hire people to listen to you. But when it comes to the things of God, God knows you better than any other human being on the face of this planet. And to have a personal relationship with him and carry your problems to God is what we need to learn, because God's word will speak to your heart and tell you what's wrong. And God, by his Holy Spirit, will make his word real to you. Hallelujah. And so his word is living and powerful. Next verse, Hebrews 4:13. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to him, to the eyes of him whom, to whom we must give an account. You say, well, I don't want anybody to know me that well. All I can tell you to do, friend, get over it. God knows you that well. He knows me that well. Amen. You can be thankful he's not going to come on KMU in the morning and tell everybody. Man. And so it says we're open before God, and God knows, and we're going to give an account to him one day. And you know, the word of God defines right and wrong. We don't have to wonder what is right and what is wrong. The Bible tells you what offends God, what is right and what is wrong. We need no other source. We need him. We need what he says. Praise God. And if he says certain things are wrong, believe what he says rather than to participate and to partake of what is, we know is wrong, and suffer the consequences of it. Thank you. Well, let's think about it for a moment. What is a society influenced by? Our society today, what's it influenced by? Is it influenced by the Word of God? Not as it should be. Too many people don't believe the Word of God is worth anything. That's because they've never been born again of God's Spirit and have no idea what the Word of God is. But what are we influenced by? What is society influenced by? Society and you personally and me, we're influenced by what we read and what we watch, what we listen to. Goes for young people, middle-aged people, and people like me. And people who have graduated from the senior class to the senior class number two. There's not a way to put that, is there? But what are we influenced? We're influenced by many things. What we watch on television, internet, what we read, what we listen to. People are influenced. Young people are influenced by locker room sex education. I exhort you, don't listen to that. That's not it's not God's education. God says everything about that in Scripture that you need to know. So we need to go to God's Word. And so God's Word is powerful. It's a creative Word. And it's living and powerful. Second of all, God's Word changes people, circumstances, and things. You know? And most of the time, all of the time, it's not that God doesn't need to change his mind about things, it's we need to change. But God's word is truth. We can and should be believed. His word can be believed and should be believed. And God's word has stood the test of time. I don't know how old we have the 66 books, 1,189 chapters. But it came, you know, a little while after Jesus' resurrection, the full canon of scriptures came out, and the Old Testament was already there, but the New Testament came together, and the canon of the New Testament was put together, and people could hear it and believe it and know that it was inspired of God. And we should believe what it says, because God's Word has stood the test of time. It's still the number one bestseller in all the world ever. Praise God. The Book of Islam hadn't taken its place, you know. The Tibetan Book of the Dead hadn't took its place. I know you're disappointed. But God's Word still speaks and still changes people and circumstances and things today. And God's Word can change a person completely. The salvation of man from a sinful, carnal way of life is a miracle of God's Word. Amen. And change a man from a sinful behavior to a righteous behavior. It takes God to do that, but God's Word can do that. Amen. And God's word can change a person's behavior because it tells you how God wants you to behave. Amen. And when you was a kid, you used to be told by your parents, behave. But some of us older people need to be told by God many times, straighten up, behave. You know. And then the natural, if we didn't, we knew what was coming. Or used to be that way anyway. It was when I was a kid. Parents had a way of lifting you up from what you were involved in. Okay. But God's word changes people completely. And this is gospel we preach. This is a message we send across this world because we believe God can take the worst and turn them into a child of God and a person that can be honorable for the kingdom of God. In the book of 2 Corinthians, it says, verse 16, 5:16, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. We don't look any longer just at the natural man or the natural person, because Jesus didn't look at us that way and say, well, you know, they're not worth talking to, they're not worth dealing with. God considered you important. And so we should not regard anyone according to what they are. Yeah, we know people, we recognize people for what they are, and we recognize people if they've got a problem with murder, if they got a problem with drunkenness, if they got a problem with whatever sin you want to mention, and we say, well, we really don't need to be influenced from that. Let's just, there's no hope for that person. But let me tell you something, God does not show any personal favoritism. I'm so glad he doesn't. Even though we know Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. God was interested in the spiritual things of people, the inner man. God's still interested. God's still saving people that you would never save. God's still healing people you wouldn't heal. God is still menaced and concerned about people that you and I might not ever be concerned about, because God loves every person. God saved the worst of sinners. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. It saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That's what God can bring a person from darkness and death to light and eternal life. Praise the Lord. Man's greatest need is God, deliverance from sin, eternal hope, God's love instead of human love. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone. He is a new creation. Praise the Lord. God didn't just say, come down and sign the church roll and then you're good for eternity. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his creation. We are his work, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God created us to be changed, turned directions, living for him. From that point on, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When God says he loves us and us to save us, we can believe his word. His word is true. God loves you. God cares. You say, God can't love some people. Yes, he can. He gave his life. Jesus didn't just die for certain select few. He died on the cross for all humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, amen, not whosoever was pre-programmed to be saved and others can't be. No, he gave his life for the whole world, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when God says he loves you, he means it. We can believe his word. When God says he will give you peace in a world that has anything but peace, God means what he says. Praise the Lord. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace concerning our eternity, peace where we're going to spend forever, peace who is in charge of our lives, amen, a peace that whatever happens, my God is with me, he will not leave me, he will not forsake me, he's constantly there with us. His word says he would be there with you. You can believe it, stand upon it, that's his word. Hallelujah, you can believe it. We must believe his word, absolutely. Isaiah 55:6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. If we know God's word is true, then let's go after God. Let's be in pursuit of the things of God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, I love that. Especially the last verse, last part of that verse, for he will abundantly pardon. Praise God. And so we believe what God's word says. We can trust, obey, call upon him, expect the Lord when you pray. Amen. Verse 7 says for us to make a choice here, let the wicked forsake his way. There's times you got to stand up and say no to sin. Every day you'll have to. Everybody else is doing that and they seem to be having a good time, but if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And it's much better to restrain yourself from doing that than to suffer the consequences when you commit things that God has forbidden. We make the choice to not entertain certain sinful thoughts or any sinful thought. Those sinful thoughts, their source is not God. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Amen. Your thought life is very important. If you concentrate upon sinful things, after a while, that's what you'll want to do. Romans chapter 8 says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, and other indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, Christians, are not in the flesh, so the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if you're born again of God's Spirit, let's live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, make choices, go ways that God tells you to go. Amen. Forsake evil thoughts. You say, well, I don't struggle with my thought life. Yes, you do. Everybody does. You struggle with your thought life. But I want to tell you something. God can help you with your thought life and to redirect your life where you can pray and have the thoughts of God instead of the thoughts of the devil, the enemy. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy and to our God, for we will abundantly pardon. If you failed God in thought, word, or deed, ask God's forgiven. God's pardon is abundant. Praise the Lord. This helps us a little bit right here. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, So my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. God's thoughts and ways are light years higher than ours. Amen. And he's powerful. And he always wants the best for you. And God's work in mankind is not so that God can be better. It's because that God loves you and God wants to bring you to himself. We'll be closer to him. Amen. Because he's got eternal plans for us. Believe God's willingness to forgive and to restore. Believe God's word concerning forgiveness of sins. You say, well, I committed sin, 5 years ago, and I still feel guilty over it. And I ask God to forgive me, but I still feel guilty over it. Let me tell you something. When God forgives you, he forgives. I quoted it a while ago. As far as the east is to the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Not if we're petting a sin and sure hoping it won't come up again until you're really feeling that way. That's not repentance. Godly sorrow produces repentance. Amen. But it says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I'm glad God doesn't keep a tally and say, when he gets up here, I'm going to show him where he was wrong. Let me tell you, God has already sent his Holy Spirit to convict us and show us where we're wrong and lead us to repentance. God's will is to restore, not to reject, but to restore the repenting believer. If we confess our sins, if you're willing to come to grips with a fault and a failure in your own life, and you'll confess it before God, you don't have to confess it before anybody or some earthly priest, which there's not such a thing. Christ is our high priest, the only priesthood there is. And so, he is faithful. Amen. Aren't you glad God's faithful? Faithful for what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You say, well, God's only forgiven me. God's forgiven me 6 times, and next time it's it. That doesn't mean that you should plan to sin again to see if you can just wear God out. No. That means if you fail more than once, then repent, ask God's forgiveness. And so God's word is truth, and God's going to do what he said. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes out before me, out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. His word shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it. That's a promise from God right there. Hallelujah. And so we know that God is faithful. God is not a man. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do it? He has spoken, and will he not make it good? Amen. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, variation, or shadow of turning. I want to tell you, God will do what he said he would do. And God is concerned about you. God loves you. God cares for you. And we need to believe that God's word promises our protection. Everybody wants protection. We as Christians should want protection spiritually. Praise God. We can see a world that doesn't have any. And where the enemy of our soul runs rampant in turning people into do awful things that we hear of on the news every day, that things that we would never dream of doing. But God protects us by his Spirit. How many things would rule your life if it wasn't for God's protection? How many words would you say that you shouldn't say if it wasn't for God's protection? You know, many times God will keep us, I believe, from going places that would do us harm, even though they may not seem no harm. And God keeps us and God helps us. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. God protects his people. Hallelujah. And we can believe his protection. No weapon formed against us. So God said it, and that settles it, whether we believe it or not. It settles it. His word is certain, steadfast, and sure. Amen. God's unchanging word.